This is the day that I believe that the kingdom of heaven is like. It is likened unto the parable of the hidden treasure. And I would say unto you, it's finders, keepers. Finders, keepers. How many of you have played that game, finders, keeper? Something is hidden, you go and look for it, like a scavenger hunt. But many times we don't know what we're looking for. But I believe that all in all, that we have an understanding that the kingdom of heaven is like a hidden treasure. A hidden treasure. Those that find it, can keep it. Amen. Next Sunday will be our last Sunday here at the House of Manna on 6565 Babcock Road, number 24. I received a word at the Sons of Thunder breakfast from Pastor Milton. He said an end of a thing is not a bad thing because it's a beginning of something new. We have history here. I remember when we first came, our first service, we didn't have any chairs. We had to rent them. And if some of you have seen on our Facebook page in the photos, it was just those chairs that were just about right here. We didn't have this wall. We didn't have a lot of things that we had, but we labored for it. And so when I came in this morning, I said, Lord, we're transitioning to a new place. But I feel that there is something that is intertwined within this building that is part of us. It is part of our spirit. It is part of our faith that we have released in this atmosphere. So I cried unto the Lord. I said, Lord, it's a bittersweet thing. As we venture into a new place, it is a time of celebration, a time of joy, but it's something that we don't know what we are about to experience. I remember the times coming in here and painting, hanging things up, and spending hours in here, weeks in here. I remember the times when we had the space next door to us, and that's where our kids' room was at. Prophecies were coming, you're going to take this whole center, and this is all going to be yours. And I said, Lord, I want what you want, not what man wants. He said, well, you trust me. I said, yes, Lord, I believe for you. I believe that what you have for me is greater than what I'm believing for. And then we lost that spot. And then when we lost that spot, we had that individual that rented from there coming against us. We had so many complaints about our music or how loud we were. Police officers were sent over here. Remember that? I said, this is a church. I don't understand. They said, well, you know what? You're a church. Don't worry about it. It's praise and worship. Do what you have to do. So I've gone through all of these things, and I go back to the back room this morning, and I see the kids' room, and I always said to God, I want my kids to have what we have. And he reminded me that what we labor for is not for us. It's for a generation to come. He says, what I have for you is greater than you can imagine. Just walk these steps out and trust me. I was telling my wife this past week, I said, it is time for us to do our last baptism here at the House of Manna, to prepare us for where we're going. Those that have not been baptized, you'll have the opportunity to be baptized. But I encourage each and every one of you to consider being baptized on Sunday. It is letting go of the old and coming up to receive the new. I know this to be the things of God, because when Jesus spoke through the Old Testament, he spoke in a way that when he spoke to Joshua to take the people over, told him, prepare. Prepare your food, for in 3 days you shall cross over. There's a preparation that needs to be done. What we're digesting needs to be heeded to. And I heard the Spirit of God say, I'm going to relinquish everything that has held you back. You'll be loosed into your place. So I'm excited about this baptism. And then after this baptism, we have one more service, which is on Wednesday, our soaking service next week. And I believe that we're about to experience something very fresh in you to carry us over to our new place. Amen. I'm excited about it. I know that God has a plan for us, and we're to walk this thing out. There's a hidden treasure. There is a hidden treasure that when we find it, we keep it. Amen. Amen. So next Sunday will be our baptism. We'll have it here at 12 noon after our service, and then we'll have a celebration with all those that get baptized. If you've never partaken of our baptism, it is Holy Ghost filled. The Lord speaks, he declares, and we come up new and fresh. Amen. As we embark on this new endeavor that God has for us, you know, we had this, our goal. Remember I told you I could never figure out what the goal was. God hadn't given me this goal. He hadn't given me the goal. Well, I have a goal that needs to be met. I'm going to share with you. The $500 deposit is necessary for us to get in. The monthly rent is only $1,500, half of what we're paying here. And that means it covers everything. Insurance, CPS, their security system, internet, everything. All we got to do is show up. So what we need, and I ask you to search your heart. And if God places it on your heart, be obedient. We have raised some amount of the money here. Remember, we did. I said, bring your change, bring your change. I thought we were going to be here for another few years. And so we've had change come in. We've had some donations come in. But $2,000 is needed before we even enter in. When I spoke to the landlord, and some of y'all were here during that service, our last month, which is October, we don't have to worry about. But we do have to worry about what's coming up next month. So I ask you to just search your heart. Those of you listening by way of the podcast, search your heart. And if the Lord speak to you and press on your heart to sow, I ask you to sow in obedience. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I want you, if you would, to turn to your Bibles to Matthew 13. Matthew 13. Matthew chapter 13, and we're going to go to verse 13 through 17. 13 through 17. And when you have it, say amen. Amen. Matthew 13, verses 13 through 17. As you're searching for it, if you have it on your devices, look for the expanded Bible. I'm going to read it out of the expanded Bible. Verses 13 through 17 of Matthew 13 reads this wise. This is why I use stories to teach people. Speak in parables. Because they see, look, but they do not really see, perceive. They hear, but they don't really hear or understand. So they show that the things Isaiah said about them are true. In them, the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled that says, you will listen and listen, keep on hearing or listen intently, but you will not understand. You will look and look, keep on seeing or look intently, but you will not learn, perceive or comprehend. For the minds, the hearts of these people have become stubborn, dull, calloused, hardened. They do not hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes and hear with their ears. They might really understand in their minds with their hearts and come back, turn and return to me and be healed, I would heal them. But you, your eyes are blessed because you see with your eyes and hear with your ears. I tell you the truth, many prophets and good, righteous, just people wanted long to see the things that you now see. But they did not see them, and they wanted long to hear the things that you now hear, but they did not hear them. Father, I thank you for the reading of your word. I thank you that it is true. I thank you that it is life, and I thank you that it gives life, Father. But Lord, I thank you that for the illumination of your word, and I thank you for revelation knowledge of your word, Father. Revelation of your kingdom, Father. And I just thank you right now, as I decrease and you increase, let them hear your words. Let them see you and not me. Father, I thank you for the very kingdom of heaven is at hand. And I thank you for the display of not just word, but of power. And I thank you for it now in Jesus' mighty name. And all of God's children said amen. Why the parable? Why did Jesus speak to his disciples in parables? Many times you would ask the question is, why are you telling me a story when I ask you a question? The disciples would walk with him and he would begin to teach them about the kingdom, but they didn't understand. So he had to give them a story, something to understand. So he'd speak in parables. They would have some sort of inclination of what he was talking about by what the parable was. So the parable does not tell a truth to a person as much as it helps a person to discover the truth. Parables help a person look at information from a different perspective. Truth which is told and memorized is quickly forgotten. Truth which is discovered will last a lifetime. The great value of parables is that they do not impose truth on a person. They place a person in a position to realize truth. We have to be in position to hear the truth of the word. But when we hear the truth of the word, we have to put it into action because now it becomes revelatory to us. When you have revelation, it is something very precious to you that you can hold on to. It's the finder's keeper. Once you get revelation, the enemy can't take it away because it's not information, it's been imparted. Amen? Jesus used this form of instruction to teach about the kingdom of God. Those who were hearing him tell these parables were living within a thought world whose prophets had told them about a glorious day when the kingdom of God would come. Then when it arrived, God would set up his rule that would replace all other authorities and kingdoms. So here he is talking about the kingdom of God, and he's telling them what it is, but they still don't understand. Have you ever spent time with someone and they're telling you something that you're supposed to be listening to? For some of you going back to school coming up. You will sit in class, be hearing information that's supposed to be good for you. It's supposed to teach you. You're supposed to learn. How much of it is really retained? Hardly any. But all this information is thrown at you. And that's in one class. So then they take you out of one class and put you in another class, and more information is thrown at you. All right? How many of you remember being in school? Some of you adults in here. Too long? I had this one teacher. He was Mr. Kemp. I know his name. Mr. Kemp is my history teacher. I was a junior in high school. He said, Marty, he said, I see you struggling. I said, I struggle in all my classes. He says, no, but the reason why you struggle is not interesting to you. I said, this is history. It's not exciting. And this is what he taught me. He says, unless you put yourself there, it's not exciting. I mean, put myself where? Put yourself in the story. Who do you want to be? Who do you want to become? What you talking about? Pick a character in what you need to learn and see through their eyes, and it's no longer something that you're reading, it's something you're living. Ooh, that was deep right there. That was deep as a junior in high school that was always skipping out. I mean, always at school. And it was deep. And so when I started reading, I started to see, I would look for a character in the Bible. Okay, this is who I'm going to be. you know, like me, if you really know me, I don't pick out the leader. I don't pick out the one that's supposed to win all the time. I pick the underdog. Somebody asked me the other day, well, what's your favorite team? Whoever Dallas is playing. They're like, what? You don't like Dallas? No, I love to hate them. He says, you don't have no loyalty to any team? I said, I used to when it wasn't about money. Ooh, that's deep. I said, but for me, I always go for the underdogs. They fight harder. They scrap. Y'all know what that is. They scrap. They don't fight. They scrap. They ain't going to fight fair. You may get in a tackle situation. The underdog isn't just going to tackle you. The underdog is going to poke you in the eyes. He's going to bite you when you're down. See, I know what it's like to be an underdog. So I started putting myself in these places in history, and I started seeing that it's more interesting if I can kind of understand what I'm reading and see it so I can perceive what they're saying. From my grades going from... Yeah. My grades went from F's. Y'all are bad. I'm talking about the history class. In that class, I went from an F to a B. And he says, what you did is change the way you see in here. That's it. It's simple. For me to remember his name? Now, don't get me wrong. In all these other classes, they were subpar. I was not good in anything else. But that class, he took time to tell me something. He took time to make me see something different. So here's the teacher now, the rabbi, Jesus, with his disciples, telling them what was being told to them already in the synagogues, but they didn't get it. So he begins to describe to them in their everyday life something they could see and understand. And then he likened it into the kingdom of heaven. So no longer was it just something like a story. I'm just going to tell you a story. Three little pigs were, you know, building houses because the bad wolf, right? No, he wasn't just telling them a story. He was showing them the principle of the kingdom of heaven. But with something that they understood. So that's what it is. That's what the parable was about. Now, Jesus comes on the scene and he begins to teach his disciples. He's walking on this earth. He gets baptized by John the Baptist, right? As he sees Jesus coming down, he says, he's the one. That is the Messiah. That is the Christ. He is the anointed one. Jesus comes to baptize me. He goes, I'm not even fit to tie your sandals. I can't baptize you. You should be baptizing me. Well, that is signifying that I know who you are, right? It's been revealed by the Spirit who you are. Then he says to him, in order to fulfill the scriptures, you must baptize me. So he baptizes him. Now here it is in scripture, the first time Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit are ever recorded in the Bible. Holy Spirit comes right upon the head of Jesus. Son, Holy Spirit. Then the voice from heaven speaks. God himself speaks. This is who? My Son, in whom I am well pleased. Now, here's a declaration. Who was present at that time? John the Baptist. So let's fast forward as Jesus is going through healing people in the scriptures. He's healing people all over the townships. He's healing people out in the synagogue. And then John the Baptist gets put in prison. Look at how things change when your circumstance don't look favorable. He sends a messenger to go and ask Jesus, hey, John the Baptist wants to know, are you the one or should we be looking for somebody else? You just heard the voice of God speak of who he is. You witnessed the Holy Spirit. You recognized who he was. You said yourself that I'm not even fit to tie your sandals. Now, because your circumstances don't look favorable, are you the one? Or should we be looking for somebody else? Huh? How many times do we get in a situation like that that we want to start church? Jesus, shoot, I've been praying. I've been sowing seed. I've been doing it. I've been going to church, getting there early. Well, before praise and worship was over, I got there at least. Y'all looking at me like, oh, Pastor. Some of y'all's face like, you don't understand, it was raining. It quit raining a long time ago. Honest truth, I'm going to get back to our promise. Just put it in neutral for a minute. Hold on. Every time it would rain, as we started this ministry, my wife would go, oh, no, it's raining. I'm like, yeah, why? She says, nobody goes to church when it's raining. So every time clouds roll in, if it's going to be a Sunday, Inez is already, I rebuke those clouds in the name of Jesus. And she starts declaring, the church is going to be full. You're going to fill it up. And over the course of these years, it showed to be true. I was like, man, it's just rain. How many of you told the story to your kids? You don't know how far we had to walk through the snow just to get to school. Or this one, we didn't take the bus. We had to walk. And it wasn't across the street either. It was for blocks. Okay, watch this. It wasn't as dangerous. Oh, Lord. It just wasn't put on TV. It was still dangerous. But there's pedophiles. They were back there, too. Oh, but they weren't kidnapping people. They were kidnapping people too. You're just now hearing about it on TV all the time now. Because they find that to be news. Yeah.
Maybe because
we didn't have cable. We had the rabbit ears. The remote was your children. Mija! Okay, but listen. Okay. Now let's put it, let's put it in gear. Now let's go back to what I was saying. But when your circumstances change, we start to see things differently. You get a different perspective, do you not? Things are supposed to go good because I'm believing in God. I trust in God. I'm declaring the word of God. I'm praying. I'm fasting. I'm doing everything. Things are supposed to be good, but then you wind up behind bars. Yeah, some of y'all are like, oh, yeah, I was there, Pastor. Me too. But are you going to be like John the Baptist and question? Should we be looking for somebody else, or is it really you? I imagine he had attitude. How many of you get attitude when things don't go right? Yeah, you're like, oof. We get attitude all the time. Attitude nowadays. Lord, don't even get me started on attitude. Attitude nowadays is the thing that we operate in, is attitude all the time. People know you by your attitude. Not your character. You switch that. So here's what Jesus responded to John the Baptist's messenger. He says, the kingdom was here and suggested that John look at the ministry of Jesus to understand what the kingdom was about. It wasn't about judgment, but it was about the kingdom of God attacking the rule of Satan. Now, here's what I want you to understand. What did Jesus demonstrate while he was here on the earth? What's the first thing that pops to your mind? What did Jesus do while he was here on the earth?
Love.
Say it again.
Heal.
All of you say it again.
Heal.
Why did he heal? Love. Okay, come on. Work with me. What did Jesus do? He healed. Why did he heal?
Love.
Man, we're on it now. We're on it now. We didn't break for the donuts and coffee. I guess that's what it is. But listen. So Jesus demonstrated his love by what he saw in the people that they didn't understand that the healing was available to them. You understand? How many times did we go seeking for some sort of peace? I think that Lionel said it sometimes. You just got to spoil yourself, right? Yeah. And as you spoil yourself, you got to go to the spa sometimes. See, I like pedicures. I ain't gonna lie to you. I like to get there, and when they get to my feet, I already start holding on to the chair real tight because I'm very ticklish. My wife looks over at me. She goes, oh, there he goes. And sometimes I'm afraid I'm going to kick the person. So ticklish. But I like to be pampered. Amen. Oh, I like to be pampered. Get my feet done. Sit there on that chair high and mighty. Put my feet in those bubbles. Woo! See, we have to be pampered, but here's the thing. We have to understand that what Jesus wants for us is to be blessed and walk in wholeness. But if we don't know it, then we're not going to walk in wholeness. I didn't know I could declare healing in my body. I say that just to let you understand that the healing, you heal. You don't pray for healing. You release healing. You understand? So he spoke to them in parables for a reason. The kingdom parables in Matthew present a reality of the kingdom and a future reality. There are 7 parables in Matthew 13. 2 of which concern judgment, and the remaining 5 concern the present reality of the kingdom, which Jesus came to bring to them. Okay? The parables. Number 1, the sower. Number 2, the weeds. The weeds. Number 3, the mustard seed. Number 4, the leaven. Number 5, the treasure. Number 6, the pearls. And number 7, the net. I'm going to repeat them back. Number 1, the sower. Number 2, the weeds. Number 3, the mustard seed. Number 4, the leaven. Number 5, the treasure. Number 6, the pearls. And number 7, the net. Turn with me, if you would, please, to Matthew 13. Matthew 13. We're going to go verses 44 through 46. I'm going to read it out of the Expanded Bible. What I'm going to talk to you today is about finders keepers. Finders keepers. We're going to find what the kingdom of heaven is, what he wants for us, how we're to be, and what we're going to hold on to. Amen. The kingdom of heaven. Finders, keepers. Finders, keepers. Losers. All right, just making sure you're following me. All right. Are you there? Matthew 13, verse 44. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. Watch this. One day a man found the treasure, and then he hid it in the field again. He was so happy, joyful, and excited that he went and sold everything he owned to buy that field. Isn't that something? Haven't you ever found something you get so excited that you don't want nobody else to know that you have it? So he hid it again. But this is what I find interesting. He went and he sold everything that he had so that he could buy the field. That's it. Verse 45. Also, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found a very valuable pearl, he went and sold everything he had and bought it. I want you to put your focus on the 2 things of treasure here. One, the field. Now, the field is owned by someone that doesn't even know the treasure's there. Right? Now, how many of you, you used to save money in shoeboxes or in the mattresses or in certain places that are hidden, you know. Okay, well, back in the day, I want you to think way back in the day. They didn't have a banking system. They didn't have a debit card. What they would do is the treasures that they have that were valuable to them, they would go and hide it. They would bury it, right? So my question is, how come the owner of the field didn't know he had it there? Right? Because I know if somebody was to come and offer me money for my field, with so much excitement. I go, oh, hey. Well, you really excited about my field. Let me inspect it before you buy it. Think about it. What if you went to a garage sale and you bought a picture for $5? It was $5. To you, it was like, okay, $5. $5, I'll just buy. I'll put it in my man cave somewhere. It's just not worth that much. $5, I'll just put it up here. But come to find out that the owner of that painting didn't know its real value, and it was really worth $5 million. We've all read stories like that it's happened, right? Now, the person that gets that picture now has something of value. What if he goes and sells it and gets the $5 million? Does he have to go back and give money to the one that he bought it from? Y'all are bad. Y'all are bad. And you call yourself Christians. You're like, uh-uh, that's my money. Finders, keepers, losers, weepers. Right? Because if I bought it for five, I'll give you the $5. But it was $5 million. He didn't know the value that he had. But the person that had it, he didn't know. The one that bought it, he still didn't know until he got it appraised. Some things that we have, we don't know the real value of. I'm saved, filled with the Holy Ghost. Do you know what that really means? Do you know what that really means? The value to you right now may be $5. Until you go and get revelation to what you really have inside of you that is worth so much more than what you originally purchased for. What Jesus did on the cross, you could have never paid. And then, watch this. After he got beaten, spit on, and abused with all the whips on his back, stripped him of his beard with just pulling it out, and then hung on the cross to die from everybody that was watching him before and praising him are the ones that are doing it to him. He loved us so much that even after that, he gave us a gift. How many of you would do that right now? Yeah, you better be honest, because you know you wouldn't. You wouldn't. Someone come and spit on your face. It's on. This is it. We get so wounded that some of us look funny at us. Pastor wearing that pink shirt underneath. Oh, no. Oh, no, you should have worn a white one. We get so judgmental. Someone say something to you. Oh, that's it. I ain't talking to you no more. And God says, bless your enemies. Bless those that curse you. Jesus, you don't understand. Oh, really? I don't understand? I gave the most precious gift of them all. I gave them my spirit to them. Those that would seek. Those that would find. They could keep. Did everybody get the Holy Ghost? No, those that wanted to receive. Because he said, go into Jerusalem and wait. And when you get there, at the appointed time, it will come. I will send my comforter. So they waited. And they waited. And they waited. And they waited. Can you imagine us today? I need you to go and wait in San Antonio. And then I'm going to send you a gift. Well, how long and where? Can you send me and text me the address? What time are you going to show? I got things I got to do. The voice is about to start. You know, and I got to watch that. Blacklist is coming back on. I got to go watch Blacklist. You know what I'm talking about? We got certain things that keep us focused on the world and instead of focusing on what he wants. Because we don't know how to wait for a certain thing. But if we knew the value of what we were waiting on, we'd be so excited like the man that found the treasure in the field. Once he found it, he hid it again. He hid the treasure again. How many of you are hiding the gift of God after you found it? Oh, you understand, Pastor. I can't go knock on doors. I can't tell people certain things about God. I don't even see a cross on their necklace, or I don't even know if they're Christian. Let me see if they even know Jesus first. I understand, because I got things I got to do. And sometimes I talk to these Christians, they talk for hours. Y'all laughing, you've encountered them. So here's what happens is we find a treasure, but quickly we cover it back up. Yes, we get excited. We get so excited. Oh, I got it. I don't want anybody else to know I have it. I don't want anybody else to know what I've just found. I'm going to keep it to myself. Right? We cover it back up. Do we cover it back up because we're ashamed of what people are going to say that we are? Come on. Yeah. Because you used to call them the same thing too. The Bible thumpers. Jesus freaks. Oh, you Christians are so hypocrites. Yeah. Y'all are so hypocritical. You know, you're judgmental. You know. You said it about them. But how'd you really come into the kingdom? You really stumbled upon it. That's really how you did. Sure, you got invited to church and came to church. You see this Mexican running around acting a fool up there. Man, it doesn't make no sense sometimes. You're talking about a pink shirt with a... If you'd have been here when we first started and I had my loop earrings. Some of y'all remember that. Oh, he looked like a pirate. Or if you had been here when we were... I remember this one. I just saw the pictures. It reminded me. We had Shamu hanging up here.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Remember that? We had Shamu hanging up here and everybody came in and their... the luau kind of thing. We have Miss Lisa over here with that. But she had an inflatable thing for the swimming pool. Remember? Remember that? With the floaty. She had the floaty around her waist. Y'all would have came in. You're like, I don't know about this church. Dude, this is crazy. And then before you leave, I laugh and I cry in church. But see, we stumble into the kingdom of God. We stumble into a treasure. And then when we get it, we hide it so that we can go and make a sacrifice. What he did, what did he go do? He went and he sold everything he had so that he could buy the field. Right? What is that signifying to you? Remember, Jesus telling this parable to the disciples. The disciples were like, why did he hide it? Maybe they understood the value of land, the value of a treasure that is hidden, because they understood what they would hide. Maybe you are leaving somewhere, you're going out of town, but there's no banking system. You're not going to leave it in your home, so you go in the field and you hide it. You know, there's still treasures today that are being found that are hidden, that have been hidden. Some of my bank robbers that hid it along the way, different paths. But you're hiding it from people from taking it from you. Well, what this man was doing is hiding it for himself. You understand? I know where it's at. I'm going to go get enough money to buy the whole field. Just for that treasure. Jesus came into this world, into this field, and he found the treasure in you. And he said, I like this, Daddy. I'm going to cover them. I'm going to give it my all. I'm going to give everything of who I am. I'm going to give it on the cross so that I can purchase them with my blood. Did you see it that way? Because what happened? He covered you with his blood. He covered it. Now, is everybody going to understand how simple it is to get saved? No, because there's still religions out there that make you go through a process to get saved. Jesus made it so simple. Those that believe in their heart and confess with their mouth that Jesus is Lord, them too shall be saved. Well, that's simple. And guess who makes it difficult? We do, because we don't understand the treasure in it. The treasure in the simplicity of what Jesus did for us, that all we have to do is believe. That's how simple it is. But we got to make it very difficult. Well, you can't sin no more. You got to stop. You can't do it. You cannot do it. You're going to sin. Some of y'all are sinning right now. You're looking like, what? Yeah, in your thoughts. He says that if you at least look at, just look at a woman and think lustfully, you already sinned. So are we going to walk around blinders? Oh, some of y'all just need to just hold up now. I already heard this in your mind, whoever you are. I'm going to talk to you. I'm going to talk to you right now. Pastor, you don't understand, but before I say yes, before I get married, you know, you got to say, I'm going to tell you, hey. You've already sinned. Oh, you are something, whoever you are in here right now, you're like, well, so I should go ahead and do it then? No! Stop that! Man. We're carnal Christians, my God. Here's the thing, we all live in this flesh. And there's a sinful nature always around us. So the influence of the one that is the ruler of this world is Satan. What is he going to entice? Is he enticing your spirit? No. He's enticing your flesh, your desires, your carnality. But when you find the treasure, you realize that the Spirit of God can lead you out of the temptation. Okay, for the three of y'all got led out of temptation. The others are still stuck in there. I need a test drive first, Pastor. Let me tell you about those test drives. You get enough test drives, that car is no longer new. It has a few miles in it. Just saying. They don't want to hear it. You don't understand because then I've been through marriage before. And you know, it's true. If I'd have known then what I know now, then why are you doing it again? Too much? I think it's a little bit too much. What do you think? Just come back. There's a lot of nervousness going on. I feel it. I've been like a deer in the headlights. I'm about to get took. Look. Theo, I'm just trying. I'm just trying to get past this. I'm just trying. There's some hurdles since, you know, we... Olympics. Forget it. I ain't going to try to work out that hard and come in last. Jump those hurdles and hurt myself. In front of everybody. So I'm not going to go through and make the full commitment. I'm just going to try it first. The thing with the kingdom of God... He committed himself. He didn't say, God, let me just go test and see first. He didn't say that. He knew how we were. Truth be told, back then was worse than we are now. Y'all are thinking, oh my God, it's so bad. It's never been this bad. Hold up. You know why Jonah didn't want to go to Nineveh?
Yeah, bad.
They were bad. And I don't mean bad like good bad. I mean bad. They were killing people left and right. Stripping people of their skin. Hanging them on crosses all over the place for people to see. Men, women, and children. Heads on stakes as you enter into the city. That's why he was so scared to go. Marty, go to Nineveh. Oh, no. I know. They don't want to receive you. Look at what they're doing. I'm going the other way. Oh, really? Get on that boat. Go a different direction. I have a way to get you there. You ain't going to like it, but you're going to get there. So think about it. Then, okay, so that's way back then. But that's before Jesus. Hold up. Now let's go to Corinth. Corinth. The Apostle Paul writes to the region of Corinth, the letter to the Corinthians. They were known for Corinzini. What is that? A way of sinful living. Guess who the letter was written to? The church. You should be with your own wife. Read the letter. Submit yourself unto your own husband. Why would he write that? Because they were sleeping around. In the church. Orgies in the church. No, I don't mean church body. Church building. Still doing sacrifices in the church of the children. Are you understanding what I'm saying? We think, oh, it's so bad. It's never been this bad. Please. It is bad, period. What is worse is that people are not coming into the kingdom and finding the treasure. What are they doing? They're coming into the kingdom looking for things that fit their needs. We'll come in this church because all they have is just beige. Camel color. They don't have no other color. Camel. Everything's just so neutral. What's with that big old cross? Oh, my God. That's just like too much. We got thorns up there. That little church building over there. Do you see what I mean? We start kind of looking and being critical about things. And what kind of programs do they have for my kids? I have a program for you. I see it work. It says you train up your child.
That's right.
And the way they should go. There's your program. Well, why make it our program? Right? Okay, okay. Well, let me just hold a few. Yeah. You have a program for singles? You have a singles ministry? No. The program that's in here will teach you how to be married. Will teach you how to live holy. Ooh, someone don't like me right now. Deal, I felt that one. Ooh. Yeah. I need armor bearer somewhere. Jeez. Woo-wee. I said, well, you don't know, Pastor, I went through some bad situations in my life. I need a program that's going to teach me how to come out of my sins and my vices. The program's right here. He said, if you renew your mind, renew your mind.
Every day.
Wash your mind with the word. Take captive the things that try to exalt itself above God with the word. But the thing is, well, we don't want to get in our word and use the word to fight anymore. See, we don't understand that the treasure that we have is the knowledge of the kingdom of God. So then here, now I'm still just on the first point I'm trying to make, is that when he found the treasure in the field, he went and he sold everything he had just to buy the field so he can keep the treasure. Have I asked you to sell all your houses, your cars, your jewelry, your shoes? Some of you are like, hey, don't mess with my shoes. Your purses. Cash in your 401k. No. The disciples, after Jesus gave them the Holy Spirit, right afterwards, what did they start doing? People believe so much they started selling everything they have and giving to the poor. Because their real treasure, they found the kingdom of heaven. You understand? Some of you are like, oh, I knew he was going to ask for money. That's what that building fund was about. He was already asking for $2,000. Now he's saying we got to go sell stuff. I ain't going back to that church. He wants me to sell my car. I just got my car. I ain't telling you that. I'm telling you is that you put your priorities in the kingdom of God and you seek him diligently, seek him after him. Watch what he'll do in return for you. Amen. It's simple. It is. I said, Lord, I'm just going to always present the gospel in a simple format so that people can understand it and put it to use. He says, even though they hear, even though they see, it is their responsibility to put it into action, not yours. I said, what do you mean it's not my responsibility? I thought I was going to be judged for their growth. He goes, no, You'll be judged for what you say,
right,
not for the reception.
Right.
Man, I got set free. I got delivered. I was like, well, I don't got to worry about how their fruit is. He goes, no, I'll deal with the fruit.
Yes, he will.
Oh, man, God, you're taking all this responsibility off of me. He goes, yes. Amen. The gospel does everything else.
Amen.
Tell them about me. Tell them about the kingdom. Tell them who they are.
Yes.
And then once they get revelation, they found a very precious pearl. Yeah, I got back. I got back. See? Verse 45 in Matthew 13 says this. Also, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. Pearls, anytime you read it in scripture, represent revelation. What did Jesus say? Do not cast your pearls before swine. What is he saying? Do not put your revelation before people that don't want it. They'll trample on it. And what he means is when they trample on it, they're going to make you doubt what you heard. They're going to make you doubt what you really believed and what was been revealed. Do you understand? So he says the pearls, it was like a merchant looking for fine pearls. Where does a pearl come from?
Oyster.
What is the makeup of an actual pearl? Sand. What is it? Irritation in the oyster. There's a molecule of sand that gets into the hard place, the closed off place. You see, some things will get in your life even though you think you're so secure in who you are, so secure in your job, so secure in your marriage. Some things are going to come in. And it may be a speck, but it's going to irritate you enough that maybe make you feel like John the Baptist. Are you the one, or should we be looking for somebody else? Will make you question, am I doing the right thing by following the right one? Am I doing the right thing by being where God called me to be, but I don't like it, I'm being tested, I'm going through so much? You're being irritated for the revelation of his kingdom. You're being irritated enough to the point that all the pressure that is in there, that now what the enclosure is about is to protect that very fine thing. Now that pearl was not in there other than a speck of sand, dirt. And all the pressure that came against it, with the irritation that now the oyster begins to work on it and it begins to build on it and polish it up. And it begins to form. You are those fine pearls. You may have gone through some things in your life that you wanted to quit, you wanted to give up. The pressures of life were so hard. I can't take this no more. But God is using it to polish you up. You are that very fine treasure, the pearl, within the hardships of your life that he says, I've been looking for you. I've been looking for you because you're precious to me. You're valuable to me. You may be hidden, but you can't ever get to a place that I can't find you. You're special to me. You're valuable to me. Even though you may be in the depths of the ocean, but remember what I said on Wednesday, he's the God of the depths of the sea. He is there with you all the way. And he'll bring you out. And he'll say, this is my fine pearl. Because the revelation that I'm going to reveal to you in your identity will be polished up through the course of your trials, your tribulations, your hardships, and unable to see your way out of it. But when it's time, I will pick you up out of the bottom of the ocean, out of the miry pit, pick you up. Open up that hardness. Open up that thing that has caused you to be so sheltered. And I will remove the very pearl that you've become. And I will display you to many. That's the God that we serve. That's how good he is. You understand that if we were to understand everything that he has for us, that revelation knowledge, we would walk in such power and authority with the identity of who we are, because the treasure that is within us. How many of you know the treasure is there? When we come into the kingdom, we're searching for answers. We're searching for peace. We're searching for love. We're searching for acceptance. We're searching for forgiveness. We're searching for a new start. We're searching for a new beginning. And we're searching for him. Once we found him, we must understand who he is. Once we hold the possession of the kingdom of God in our heart, it becomes the treasure. He says, where your heart is, so is your treasure. Your treasure where your heart is. How many of you treasure him right now? Literally treasures Jesus. He is so special. He is divine. He knows my every struggle. He has counted my every tear. He's counted every hair on my head. He knows everything about me. That's the God that we serve. I know what you've been going through. I know that it's been hard. I know that it's been tough. I know it's the point where you want to quit, you want to give up. But the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure. It is the finder, keepers. Once you find the treasure, keep it in your heart. Because out of your heart is where your treasure is. Will speak through your mouth, and out of your mouth comes life and death. But if you have the treasure of the kingdom of God within inside of you, you know its value. And when you know its value, you'll speak of the good things. You'll speak of the things of what he's done for you. See, it won't be hard to testify of his goodness, because once you realize that the treasure that's inside is what he did for you. You say, well, you don't understand some of the things that I go through, God. And we talk to him that way. Like he doesn't understand. He gets it. He understands. Sometimes we just have to verbalize to him what we're going through. We need an outlet because we don't have anyone to tell the truth to. Because the truth will set you free. Literally set you free. But what truth are you really after? Your truth or his truth? If you're after his truth, he is the way, the truth, and the life. His truth will reveal to you his kingdom. In his kingdom, he will reveal to you wholeness. He will reveal to you peace, love, happiness, and joy. But sometimes we go through the hardships of life that we feel like we're never going to experience that joy and peace again. We're more focused on the things of the world than we are the things of the kingdom. But if we seek his kingdom first, seek after his righteousness, then all these things that we desire, all these things that we pray for, all these things that we're believing for will come, because he will give it to you. We have to seek him diligently. And seeking him isn't just doing it when there's church service. Seeking him is seeking him in everything that you do. Be in that quiet place where he will reveal the heart of God to you. Be in that place where he can speak into your spirit, speak into your soul, that your mind, your will, and your emotions could be transformed and renewed. He wants to get into that place in your life. He wants to remove every doubt that you have about yourself. He wants to remove the fear that you have that's been instilled inside of you. He wants to remove so much that maybe you've been holding on to for so long that you don't realize that he can remove it. I speak to you now in view of God's mercies. Let him penetrate your heart. Let the revelation of his kingdom and the treasure penetrate your heart. When you receive him, you receive him into your heart. But the revelation knowledge of who you receive should reveal to you who you really are. Because when I look upon you, you are the apple of my eye, says God. You are the very gem that had been hidden in the hard and dark places. But I went and I found you, and I removed you out of the dark places. I removed you out of the hardness. I removed you out of the dark soot and everything that kept you from shining. I polished you up with the washing of my word, the washing of my blood. I am the fuller soap that will cleanse you and make you white as snow. That your sins that have stained you, my blood will heal you and set you free. This is the God that we serve. This is the kingdom that we're a part of. When we walk in it, we must know. If you've been wounded through relationships, and you can't let go of your hurts and your pains, I want you to understand that he wants to bring healing to you right now. That healing is for you. That healing is to help your heart mend. so that you can forgive, so that you can be forgiven. There's individuals in this room right now that have been wounded in relationships that you have a hard time trusting. If that is you, I just want you to stand to your feet right where you're at. Right where you're at. Look at God. Look at God. Look at God. Come on. There's nothing but the Spirit of God to do in that. Yes. Yes. Father, in the name of Jesus, for those that are standing by faith, oh God, that are standing and acknowledging who you are, that you know that the relationships that have wounded and hurt, God, that they have a hard time trusting. And Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, I loose them from that grip of fear and rejection. I loose them right now in the name of Jesus. They're no longer bound by fear, but I release the spirit of a sound mind, the spirit of power, and the demonstration in their heart that they will trust again, they will believe again, that they will not allow themselves to be hurt anymore. They will not allow themselves to feel less than who they really are. Father, I release peace into their heart, peace into their soul, and I detox their soul right now in the name of Jesus. I break every soul tie right now in Jesus' mighty name that has connected them to somebody that has wounded them, hurt them, abused them, belittled them, talked bad about them, made them feel that they were less than. They even physically abused them. Father, in the name of Jesus, I release peace of Almighty God that surpasses all understanding, that the love of God cast out all fear in Jesus' mighty name. And I prophesy to each and every individual under the sound of my voice that the healing balm of Gilead is released into your life, and that you will experience the love of God like never before. That you will experience the love coming from a mate, coming from your passion. You will be passionate about love. No longer fear, but passionate about covenant relationships. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for them right now. In Jesus' mighty name. And those that are standing said amen. You may be seated. I sense by the very Spirit of God that there's people in here saying, I've been walking in the kingdom for so long, but my circumstances have made me question, is this right for me to do? Now listen to what I'm saying. You question even the efficacy of the word and who you are in the kingdom. If that is you, stand to your feet. Stand to your feet. Amen. Thank you for your honesty. Thank you for your honesty. We go through the hardships. We think that everything that we're doing is being judged so harshly that in reality you're judging yourself. The enemy's not judging you. That's condemnation. I bind that condemnation off of you right now in the name of Jesus. I declare you to be free and loose from condemnation, guilt, and of shame. Father, I thank you for the individuals that are standing right now, that they will trust your word and trust what you're doing in their lives for the kingdom of God. I thank you that the treasure that you have revealed, oh God, the revelation knowledge of who you are through your word, they will trust and believe once again. They are like the man that says, I believe, but help my unbelief. I believe, but help my unbelief. Father, I release right now the spirit of faith, the gift of faith into this atmosphere, oh God, for the working of miracles, Lord. The working of miracles in their life and the working of miracles in lives around them. Father, I even thank you that those that are standing are even standing because they haven't seen loved ones changed. They haven't seen things in their atmosphere, in their homes change. But they're believing by faith, God, but they haven't seen it come to manifestation. So I release and I prophesy right now this word, God, that they shall see the full manifestation of your promise, that they shall be whole, they shall be made whole. And Father, I thank you for the loving presence of the Spirit of God to go forth into their homes, into the marriages, into their children, Lord, into the fathers, into the mothers. Lord, I thank you that you have released, oh God, the bondage over their life. And Lord, they can trust and see once again that you are good and your word is true. And the effect of your promise shall be made manifest in their life. In Jesus' mighty name. Those that are standing said amen. Hallelujah. Those of you that have sickness or illness in your body, I want you to stand to your feet right now. you have that religious spirit and I don't want to receive it, I don't want to claim it, here's the truth of the matter. You speak to what it is. It's a religious spirit and said, I don't want to receive it, I don't want to claim it. God didn't give it to you. God did not give it to you. That only works when God gives you something you receive. God gives you something you claim. When the enemy does, you don't receive it. You speak to it. Those of you that are standing right now, I come against the spirit of infirmity right now in the name of Jesus. Every sickness and all manners of sickness and disease, all manners of it, right now. From spines being aligned, from bulging discs getting back in order, from herniated discs and nerves being pinched. Father, in the name of Jesus, I speak to the spine right now that it'll line up right now in Jesus' mighty name. I speak that it is whole now in Jesus' name. I speak right now into the region of the heart, the region of the blood system, even the nervous central system right now in Jesus' mighty name. I speak healing, divine healing. By the very power of the living God, I thank you for it now in Jesus' name. I release the virtue now. Release the virtue now for divine healing that by your stripes they are already healed. I release healing in this atmosphere right now that those that want to receive the blessing of God can receive it at their seat and be made whole in Jesus' mighty name. If you know that this is for you and you know that you have received it, I want you to shout amen in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. For the kingdom of God suffered violently, but the kingdom of God take it by force. We are not going to let the devil tell us what we can and cannot have. We're going to move forward by the kingdom of God in power and demonstration. We will tell the devil, no more, take your hands off. We will fight for what is rightfully ours, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The treasure that is within you right now releases the blessing of God in your life, for your life, and for those around you. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Hallelujah. I get passionate about seeing people by faith start to take their proclamations now. See, faith is not things that you see. Faith is the evidence of things that you're hoping for with the evidence still not seen. That's what faith is. In other words, I'm hoping for my healing, but by faith, I can see it already happen. You understand? Probably the whole church is about to stand for this one. Your finances have been touched. Your finances have been attacked. You feel like the holes in your pocket, the holes in your bags, are causing the wealth of the kingdom to fall through. If this is for you, stand to your feet. I told you. Play on, sir, play on. Play on, sir, play on. Yes, yes. Father, in the name of Jesus, those that are standing by faith, we speak into the area of our finances. We speak blessings right now and not cursing. But what the enemy has tried to curse, God, who can curse what God has blessed? Father, that the riches of the kingdom of God, you own, Father, all of it. But I thank you because we are in your kingdom, God. We are your children, and we are entitled to the kingdom blessing. And I release right now the kingdom blessing of finances, wealth, and health in Jesus' mighty name. There be no lack. There be no lack in your life. No lack in your lineage. No lack in the destiny of your children. And I thank you that the dynasty in which you are laboring for, that the children to come, your great-grandchildren and your great-great-great-grandchildren, shall reap the thousandfold blessing from the Lord himself. Father, I thank you that you have rebuked the devourer for their sake, God. As they give of their heart unto you, God, they trust in your word, Lord. I thank you, O God, that contracts are being renewed. Contracts are being signed. Contracts are being given out, Lord. They will be awarded the contracts. They will continue to be working. They'll continue to be experiencing the overflow, of God. I thank you, God, that even deeds of land shall be released, oh God. I thank you, Father, that supernatural blessings coming in to this region, God, to change the atmosphere of lack in this city. There will be such an influx, oh God, with even more Fortune 1000 companies coming in that will release finances into this region, that people will no longer be looking at the things of lack, but they will look in abundance, oh God. This is not a gospel of prosperity, but you spoke more about prosperity, Jesus, than you did anything else as you gave parables of sowing, parables of the finances of the kingdom, and the parables, oh God, that we are above and not beneath. That we are now the lenders and not the borrowers. We are blessed in the city and blessed in the field. That we are the head and not the tail. God, I thank you for it in Jesus' mighty name. And all of God's children said, amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, if you believe that you received it, I want you to high five your neighbor and say, I received it. I received it. High five your neighbor and say, I receive it. I receive it. Hallelujah. Did you receive it? Did you receive it? I know I received it. I know I received it. I'm believing, God, that we're not just going to go and rent and lease out this building. I'm believing, God, that we're going to go and purchase that building. I'm believing that that building will be ours. I'm declaring because it meets all of our needs. I declare it. I'm not looking at less than, I'm looking at more than enough. I walk in abundance and I walk knowing that the kingdom of heaven is my treasure and it shall come forth. It shall come forth in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Believe it. You believe it. Walk in it. Walk in it. In Jesus' mighty name. If there's someone in here that does not know who Jesus Christ is, now is your opportunity to ask him into your heart right now. I told you, it's so easy. He died on the cross for you. But that's not where it ended. On the third day, after being in a borrowed tomb, he rose again by the Spirit of the Holy Spirit. The same power rose him from the grave. And now he sits at the right hand of the Father, God himself, praying for you. And if you really believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, the Bible says this. If you believe in your heart, confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, that he died and resurrected for me, and now sits at the right hand of the Father, then you too can be saved. What does that mean? That means your name is written in the book of life in heaven, and your soul goes to heaven. But I don't believe. That's what faith does, makes you believe. If that's you, then you want to receive Christ. Maybe you want to rededicate your life to Christ. Stand to your feet. Stand to your feet. Oh, Pastor, but I gave my life when I was 16 years old. Did you walk that path of righteousness? It may be a good idea to rededicate yourself. It's hard. I ain't going to lie. I'm standing with you. I've gotten off track. You're the pastor. I'm human. I want to rededicate my life as well. I want you to repeat after me. Dear Lord, I trust you. I trust your word. But I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He died for my sins. He hung on a cross for me. The penalty of sin was paid for. He was buried. And on the third day he rose for me. And because I believe that he is the Son of God, I give my life to him. And I accept him into my life as my personal Lord and Savior. Now, if this is your first time, all of the angels in heaven are rejoicing right now for you. There's a celebration in heaven for one soul that says yes to Jesus for the first time. But here's what I want to venture to say to you. Those of you that are rededicating your life, saying, God, I may have missed it, but I know you kept me. But I'm rededicating my life to you again. Even the angels are celebrating, saying, they're coming back. They're coming back. So I want you to repeat after me. I rededicate my life to you, Jesus, and the kingdom of God. I want to be obedient. I want to obey every command. I want to believe even when I don't believe. Help me. Let the Spirit of God teach me all things. I thank you, God, for your Son, Jesus. And I receive right now my blessing here on earth to be called a child of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Come on, hallelujah. There's a party in heaven going on right now. If you don't believe it, I know that Jesus is looking down at me, Theo. He's saying, that Marty right there needed to do that a long time ago. He gets a little crazy at times, but you know what? I keep him real close to me because I love him that much. If you could see yourself that way and know that he keeps you right here. Even when you mess up, he's right there to pick you right back up. Amen. Before you leave, just go and hug someone. Tell them you love them. And on your way out, eat all those donuts. Drink that coffee. Drink that juice. Embrace your neighbor. We are family in this house. Amen? Amen. God bless you. We will see you on Wednesday for soaking and Bible study. And then Sunday, don't forget, tell some people. We have our baptism next Sunday.